passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Time, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One ohm at a time. And you just heard that ohm. And it was a pretty impressive ohm. It wasn't some little, you know, light ohm. It was an ohm, as it should be. Because God knows this world needs some changing. It's like a baby with a bad, stinky, shitty diaper. And we got some changes. We got our work cut out for us. And if I'm going to be changing, if I'm going to be changing stinky diapers, I can't think of anybody else I'd rather do it with than tonight's co-host, Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Coast Unleashed, because God knows he can toss the bull around. So he's used to stinky things. Matt, hi, how are you?
Hi, good. Yeah, I don't, I've never changed the diaper. I have no children, and I intend to keep it that way.
Yes, and I think children all over the world are grateful for that fact, Matt. You don't have any children?
I don't know. I mean, I don't care if they are or not. I just know I'm glad I don't.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, hey, it's always nice to know it's a win-win situation. They're glad they don't have you as a dad, and you're glad you don't have them as a child. It's a win-win.
Yes.
I'm just saying. For those of you who might be joining us for the first time and go, what did I tune into? Here at the Dr. Kevin Show on the first Thursday of every month, we do Through the Spiritual Lens, which is a special segment that I'm always joined by none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can hear Matt Connerton from 4 to 6 at 95.3 MNF, or you can go to ipmnation.com, where you can tune in to it if you're not in the Manchester, New Hampshire area. You can tune in it through the web. And you can ask questions and you can listen as Matt and his guests spend a great deal of the time discussing the politics of the day, but they're not limited to it. They do have other crazy conversations. It's not just a political show, but it does tend to lean in that direction. Matt comes and joins us here to give us a little view of some of what's been discussed in his show and how can we kick it around and look at it and what can we do? So again, Matt Connerton. So, Matt, how are you doing? I know there's nothing going on politically, so I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's just such quiet times.
I know, yeah. No, I'm good, you know. I'm healthy. So far, so good. That's the most important thing these days.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we have a pandemic going on several levels. And I do want to remind our listeners, this is a live call-in show. So you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. You can ask Matt or I questions. You can share opinions. The only thing we ask is that you be respectful. You can disagree with us. We don't mind you being wrong. It's okay. But just be respectful about it. That's all. You know that we have multiple pandemics going on right now, right?
Multiple pandemics? That's terrible news.
Yes.
I'd like to just have one. Well, I'd like to have none, but
we have a pandemic of the body, COVID-19. We have a pandemic of the mind, of the brain, and it gets passed by drinking Kool-Aid that wears a red hat and says MAGA on it. And it creates a lot of deaths. Unfortunately, it's never for the people wearing the hats, which is kind of a sad statement. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, those two pandemics go hand in hand. I don't know which one is killing more people, but they both have a death count, a death toll. And then, you know, we kind of have a spiritual pandemic going on where people are losing faith in God. They're finding false gods. They got so desperate that they took that MAGA hat and they stuck it on a head and, you know, and put the altar underneath the feet of the guy that invented it, and are trying to put him up on an altar so everybody can pray to him. And I pray regularly, please throw him off the altar. That's my prayer.
Yes.
And try to tell us that, you know, that's God. You know, I think I like to refer to him as not the Lord, but the Dark Lord. I think it's a better description.
Sure.
So, you know, we've got a few pandemics going on. One rife with conspiracy theories. You know, COVID is made up. None of those people really died of COVID. They just keep writing it because they want to mentally control us like dogs. I'm sure you've heard that one, right?
Yes, those dead people are actually crisis actors. They're being funded by George Soros.
Oh, are they? And I thought it was Bill Gates. I guess I was reading the wrong magazine.
Well, Bill Gates is in on it, of course, because he wants to microchip all of us.
Well, you know, it's one way for him to try to catch up with Apple, I guess.
Sure.
Sure. Hey, what can I say? So, anyway, so welcome to the wonderful world of pandemics. We have people that are sick of body, sick of mind, sick of heart, and sick of spirit, and they're all converging together. And, you know, and again, a lot of them are wearing red hats and are displaying the IQ of a zombie. Kool-Aid, 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 give me Kool-Aid. I'm not racist. It's just all those people of color. They're just not as good. That's not racist. That's just true. You know? So.
I'm not racist. I have a black friend.
Yeah. And of course, one of the latest pieces of misinformation that our bully in chief and, you know, head fascist has been putting out is that the children are almost immune to it. Like, they don't get it and they don't pass it. Have you heard that one?
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Yeah. That's the one that Twitter they temporarily suspended the Trump campaign's Twitter account over that.
Mm-hmm. And Facebook actually took it off. I mean, it was amazing. I didn't think Facebook was ever going to get off the fence. I mean, the fence post was starting to come out at the top of Zuckerberg's head. He was so rammed down on it, but he's finally decided to show a little bit of guts, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And of course, the 38,000 children in Florida that have caught it, some who will have lifetime issues, the ones who didn't die, and the death rate is lower, but the lifetime impact is a whole lot longer, because when you get something that impacts you for the rest of your life in year five, that usually means you're going to have it for a long time, you would hope. But that doesn't count. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, that's something that has driven me nuts about the conservative narrative about this that I keep seeing on social media. And a lot of it's people I know personally who, you know, they've taken the attitude that, the death rate has declined, so we're all good now. It's all set. It's over. You know, the ones who don't think that it's a hoax, but who actually believe it's real, you know, they've taken the posture. Well, yeah, it's real, but we're good. We're all set. The death rate's declining, so it's basically we're done with it. You know, you can send everybody back to school and open everything, and we're good. And but they're binary thinkers. You know, everything has to be either pro or con, right or left, blue or red. You know, there's a pandemic or we're all set, and they've decided that we're all set. And I've been seeing that so much over the past few weeks. As soon as the death rate started to go down, you know, they ignore that, well, you know, you can survive it and still suffer debilitating consequences from it, but they don't care. The death rate goes down even the slightest bit, and they say, see, we're done with COVID. We're all set. It's infuriating.
And then when all of those people whose lives really got so negatively impacted that they end up on disability and the government is supporting, going to have to support them on disability because they can't go back to work, you're going to hear them all scream, oh, why should we support them? because you're an idiot.
I love it. I love it that the same people who hate public education are dying to, you know, send our kids back to school, like, as soon as possible. You know, they have nothing positive to say about public education, but now that there's a pandemic, well, we need to get them back to school, back into those public schools.
Yeah, with very little in the way of a cohesive plan. And then, you know, and of course, now maybe you would know better than I would. So I invite you to correct me here, Matt.
Yeah.
The, I don't think I have ever seen the presidency so abused as to say, we're going to 100% cover the National Guard for Texas and Florida, second and third, but only 75% for California, and they're going to have to pick up the rest. Now, why would that be? Why would there be two states that you're going to completely fund, and then you're going to make all the other states pay for 25% of the National Guard? And they're Texas and Florida. Do you have any ideas? Is there any abuse of power involved in that decision, would you think?
Well, he doesn't... You know, he certainly doesn't care about California electorally because he's not going to carry California anyway. I mean, that's a consistently blue state. So, yeah, I mean, there's actually a tiny bit of strategy involved to that. Not very much, but, you know, I mean, you know, he needs to win re-election. I talk about this a lot on my show. Winning the presidency is the worst possible thing that could have ever happened to Donald Trump because, you know, it set off a lot of investigations, and the moment that he's no longer president, he's going to be indicted by the state attorney general's office of New York. I truly believe that. But now that he is president, he desperately has to remain president so he can avoid going to prison. So it really is the worst thing that could have happened to him winning the presidency.
So, yeah, and you know, this is a whole lot huger thing that they're investigating than just hush payment money.
Right.
But, you know, this is fraud and insurance fraud and tax fraud and millions being diverted into places to hide monies. And, you know, this is huge. And this is a man who has made no shortage of enemies who will take great relish in watching him sink. Top at the list, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, you know, they're going to hate losing the Senate and they're going to hate losing the White House. But they'll get some great satisfaction at seeing his jumpsuit match his hair.
Yeah, I think Mitch McConnell, I think I may have said this, in fact, last month on your show. I think I had said this to you, and I've certainly said it on my show. I firmly believe that Mitch McConnell secretly, you know, he would never admit it, but I think secretly he wants Biden to win. I think Trump has given him... has brought him a lot of unwanted trouble. And I think Mitch McConnell, you know, I think he's willing to accept whatever the consequences are of Trump losing, because I don't think he wants to go through another 4 years of having Trump as president. I think, you know, Biden at least will be predictable and steady in a way that Trump is not. And I think McConnell's life will be a lot less stressful as a result. And that's assuming that McConnell even wins re-election. He might be in trouble. I mean, I don't think it's unlikely that he will lose, but it is possible. It's possible. I mean, there is going to be a blue wave. There's no doubt about it.
Well, in one way, I would love to see him lose. And I would love to see some of these contracts and other things that were directed towards his wife get investigated to the full extent of a completely Democratic Congress and presidency because it makes me sick to my stomach. But then there's a little part of me that if the Dems take over the Senate, I almost want to see him win just so he had to suffer through 6 years of being in the minority. Because you know that there are people that are going to stick it to him if he's reelected and it's a Democratic Senate. They're gonna
Sure. Yeah.
They'll make his life miserable. And they'll make
I don't know how old McConnell is, do you? I mean he might be near the end of his career anyway, I'm not sure. But
yeah. He's in his 70s.
Is he?
I'm pretty sure he's in his 70s. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll check on break. Who knows? But anyways,
I'm gonna look it up.
Go ahead. An interesting meme that I saw blaming the Democrats, the Dems, for not having a relief package in place because Pelosi was saying, my way or the highway, I don't care who gets screwed in the meme or some other ridiculous piece of crap. When the Dems wanted to address the issue in May and they passed a bill that didn't have a $1.75 billion FBI office and a redo of the West Wing in it. And the Republicans were like, oh, no, we're going to wait. We're going to see. This may just resolve itself. We don't have to address it. And then they wait to the 11th hour to address it. And now they say that the Dems are the problem. What's wrong with that picture? I mean, am I missing something? Has my blonde roots kicked in?
Oh, by the way, Mitch McConnell is 78. He's older than I thought.
Yeah, I knew he was up there. Okay, we will be right back on the Dr. Kevin Show, and I'm actually going to talk about what some of the spiritual messages might be in this.
Oh.
For a change. We don't always get to that part of it, but today I'm very drawn to do that. I have some words for God. And come back.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on the first Thursday of August, which means we're doing Through the Spiritual Lens with none other than Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can hear Matt from 4 to 6 Monday through Friday on his own drive time show by going to 95.3 MNH, or if you're not in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, you can go to IPMNation.com and listen as he and his cronies mostly discuss politics, but they slide a few other things in there. And so we're back to Yeah, so Matt, according to this meme, it's the Dems' fault. They're dragging their feet. I guess passing a bill in the House in May doesn't count, right? So it's the Dems. Can you explain to me how that works, Matt?
Well,
you're my political guru.
Well, that's just what always happens. You know, both sides blame each other. It's typical. And, you know, the American people end up paying the price for it. I mean,
over again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I say this all the time. The libertarians are not wrong when they talk about, you know, how bad government is. I mean, where I disagree with them is, you know, I do think government is necessary. I think we need government. But you know, I do have some sympathy for how they feel about, you know, government in some ways just being so terribly harmful because, you know, at the end of the day, they're not really looking out for us. You know, they're just not. It's all, and it's one of the reasons I'm an independent. You know, both parties ultimately are about power. And it's never really about us or doing what's right for us. The only time they really genuinely care about us is on election day. That's when they need us. Other than that, it's all marketing. And it's a shame. But people are really hurting, you know, to see that extra $600. To call it extra isn't even the right word. You know, to see that $600 a week go away that some people are really depending on. Some people can't go back to work yet, or some people don't want to go back to work yet because it's still very dangerous in some professions. And, you know, something's got to be done. And, you know, there's a wave of evictions that are coming in this country. That's going to be a tsunami. I mean, you know, I think this is the moment to do some type of universal basic income. Maybe, make that $600 into a UBI and make it permanent. You know, I think now might be the time to do that because the government's going to have to spend a hell of a lot of money to get us through this anyway. You know, so but that's what always happens. You know, we the people, we get caught in the crossfire every single time.
And you know, fool me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's what the American people should be feeling right now. The number of times they've been fooled by politics in Washington and not recognizing that this is really all about who can stay in power and who can make money and who can make deals and very little about the American people. And we keep on reelecting them. All of them.
Yep.
We keep on reelecting all of them. And then we say, well, we want to elect somebody who has experience. Why? What has their experience taught us? They're going to screw us once we voted them in. I mean, right? Isn't that what experience has taught us?
Yes.
They're going to gerrymand. They're going to put in, you know, pork in the bills. They're going to, you know, pay out monies. They're going to cover, you know, I mean, there was a whole scandal of that, you know, the American people paid the hush money to all of the sexual abuse cases that were filed against senators and houses of reps. And we weren't even told about it until it was exposed, but we were paying to cover the fact that they were, you know, predators. They were, you know, I mean, how much more do we need before we go? We need to completely revamp the system, like completely. Do we need a government? Yes, we need a government. Do we need the government we've got? No. The government we've got has failed miserably.
Yeah. Well, we can never break the cycle as long as people think about politics in a purely ideological binary way. Because what happens, and again, this is one of the many reasons why I'm an independent. I mean, certainly, obviously, you know, you can talk to me for just a couple of minutes and figure out pretty quickly that I lean far more left than right. So if you had to put me in a category, if you have to put me in a box, you'd call me a Democrat, call me a liberal. But I do occasionally vote for Republicans, not very often, especially nowadays. But But as long as we're trapped in this binary ideological way of looking at politics, we'll never break the cycle. Because what happens is Republicans take everything you were just talking about, all of which is valid. Republicans just take that and they just say, well, that's all the fault of the Democrats. And Democrats take all of that and say, well, that's all the fault of the Republicans. And if you don't look at it any deeper than that, then you're stuck in this cycle of just always blaming the other side. And that doesn't solve anything, but that's the cycle we're stuck in. And that's one of the ways that both parties actually work together, because they benefit from that. That's how they raise money, blaming the other side. So unless we can, you know, and it's not like, I mean, look, last I looked, about 40% of the electorate in the country were undeclared independents. But unfortunately, most independents, they still ultimately typically vote either left or right. They just, for whatever reason, they choose not to self-identify with a party, but they still tend to vote in an ideological manner. So, you know, until we can break that, and I don't know how to do it, but until we can break that, we're going to continue to be stuck in this. Because when you always have someone to blame, then there's never accountability. So as long as there's no accountability, this will continue in perpetuity.
Yeah, well, so I said that I was going to talk in this segment about some spiritual perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think humanity is on the precipice of transformational change, which is always painful, which is always has some violence involved in it, whether we like it or not. There's no such thing as a quiet revolution. I mean, I think that the income disparity, I think that the issues that we have with recognizing people of color in a viable, equal way, our blindness to our responsibility of what we've done in this country and in the world. And we're not alone in it. And I look at this and I go, what are the things that can potentially come out of this explosion? When all these worlds collide, because they're colliding now, and the collision is getting bigger than ever. It's getting bigger than ever. In some cases, it's getting more violent than ever. The limits are being pushed further than ever. The arrogance. Yeah, hey, as long as my party's in control of the Senate, I can break the Constitution. I can clearly break a law, but my own party's not going to get rid of me. So, you know, there will be consequences. And then I look at the tie-up between this, you know, so I want to make this very clear when I talk about a spiritual perspective. Yeah, and Matt, you've known me for a long time, and you know my story. You've interviewed me before. You know, I've spent my whole life being psychic. You know, I've been full-time in the spiritual, you know, in a spiritually based business for 30 years now, full-time. So I don't come by this as, you know, as some people have accused me, well, that's because you watch CNN. Actually, I don't watch CNN. And actually, I click on all the links. I click on the Fox link. I click on the Breitbart link. I was an independent until Trump was elected. And then I declared Democrat just because I was like, if nothing else, I want my number to show up as a Democrat as a protest to this travesty.
Yeah.
And I tried to give him. You remember, that was back when my TV show was on. We did a TV show on surviving the Trump presidency. You remember that?
I do remember. Yes.
And so, but from a spiritual perspective, we are at an age where we're going to revolt against false gods. White supremacy is a false god. Mm-hmm. Politics and authoritarian, and authority figures of all ilks are false gods. There is a large swath of Christianity that promotes and prays at the altar of a false god. Are all Christians you know, out there, you know, lumped into the same category when I say that? No. But what we're seeing is that we're going to see a breakdown of the hold that Christianity has on this country because of the hateful, vindictive, Christian professing, absolutely hypocritical in every action that is no way connected with anything that is Christian has come to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing splits within Christianity we have never seen before, within the churches. The churches are going at it in ways against each other, that they realize that, you know, that somehow this umbrella of Christianity is as toxic and dangerous as our Republicans and Democrats to American people ever getting a fair shake in Washington. And that our white fragility is showing up, and we're not looking pretty in that mirror. And we're weaving all sorts of self-delusional bullshit that is actually starting to wake more people up. I think we're going to see more people vote in this election than we've ever seen in a long time. But I think that this is going to lead to the fall of the Christian church as being such the powerhouse that it became. And I think from a spiritual perspective, this is overthrowing a totally corrupt humanity that has become abusive and hateful, and that have twisted and turned every Christian spiritual principle into a weapon to beat people with. Again, not all Christians. I know people, and the people I know that are Christian, I'm not Christian. I was not raised Christian. I never pretend to be Christian. I do know a little bit about my Bible.
Yeah.
And I know a little bit about Christianity. I'm not an ignorant. Okay. I know enough to know that the Christians we hear from most often on all of these issues, most often, are the bullshit Christians that are not Christians at all in any way, shape, or form, led by Saint Donald. And so from a spiritual perspective, I think that this implosion and explosion of government, of our racial inequities, of our income inequities, of our religious hypocrisies, I think these worlds are all going to collide, and we're going to come out on the other side of it, and we're going to be sadder and sorer, and we're going to be lost for a little bit, and then we'll emerge, because that's what we do. We may kill everything else in the process. We're notorious for doing that as well, but, you know.
Right.
But I think from a spiritual perspective that this is actually a highly spiritual time of cleansing. And, you know, we talk about ethnic cleansing, and this is like an ethnic cleansing, only in the form of it's going to do a real job on cleansing away the ethnicity of delusion, superiority, and false gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care who your God is, but don't act completely opposite than the God you say you pray to, and then go all holier than thou on me, because
right.
I ain't got time for it. And
right.
The world doesn't have time for it. I mean, we're watching this all over the place, and we are far from over on a death count of things related to COVID and COVID itself, because people are not associating that this is going to lead to deaths that happened because of COVID that weren't COVID deaths. And nobody's counting those either. But it's happening. It's happening. And so I've had to accept that this is this is a spiritual cleansing. So what are your thoughts on that? As I turn the show very serious.
Well, you know, I mean, I as far as how Christians, you know, react to Trump and whatnot and their love of Trump, I mean, to me, he's a symptom of what was already there. I mean, I've always said to me, it makes perfect sense that they would fall for his BS and all of that, because they're used to, you know, evangelicals who watch those television shows on Sunday mornings, they're used to seeing a guy in a con man in a very expensive suit telling them, follow me, I'll show you the way to heaven, you know, and they worship these people who are very, very wealthy. And, you know, it says right in the Bible, something about it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. But Christians generally, to me, seem pretty fake and phony the way they just, sort of carte blanche. They just cherry pick whatever from the Bible is convenient for them and ignore all that is inconvenient. And of course, all that is inconvenient is most of the Jesus stuff, you know, about how to treat people and how not to treat people and the example that Jesus set. And, you know, I always say that what I find baffling about Christianity is you're supposed to love Jesus, but also you're supposed to ignore Jesus. You know, you're supposed to treat him kind of like the crazy uncle at Thanksgiving who maybe had a few too many drinks. You know, you love him, but don't really pay any attention to anything that he said. The true way to heaven isn't to follow Jesus. It's to be really angry with gay people and immigrants. For some reason, that's what gets you into heaven. So I view Christianity as being pretty fake and phony to begin with. You know what I mean?
Well, did I don't know if this had happened in our last show or not, but we're going to talk about, when we get back, my latest book that is just getting ready to hit the stands.
Oh, very nice.
And we'll be right back on the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world one om at a time. This is the first Thursday of the month. It's the Thursday when I have none other on than one of my favorite regular co-hosts. I have actually three regular co-hosts that appear at different times during the month. I have Lori Powers Otto, who does Thoughtful Thursday with me, which is next week. So next week, it's going to be stories of motivation, inspiration, and people that are doing thoughtful things in the world. The following Thursday, It will be Planetary Influences Thursday, where Lori will be back. We'll have astrologer from innercenter.org, Rob Stewart, and we'll talk what's going on in the stars and what are those planetary influences that we can take advantage of or maybe dodge a bullet from. But those are our regular lineup, and then we always have kind of the crazy eight at the what's the other show of the month going to be, or the other two shows for the summer. They've been replays, but in the fall I will be lining up my guests again, and you'll just never know what's going to happen here on the Dr. Kevin Show. So if you want to be part of the conversation, 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. And you can catch Matt Connerton at 95.3 MNF. MNH. Or if you are in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, or you can go to IPMNation.com. And you can listen to it via the web, and you can call in or text Matt or message Matt as he and his, I like to call him his cronies, discuss politics and other things going on in the world. That's every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6. And then Matt, once a month, hops right over here. So we were talking about the hypocrisy of Christianity, and I really think that, you know, when we got bullied at the time of McCarthyism, that this country never really fully recovered from toxic Christianity. And you may remember in one of my old radio shows, I would always talk about BC, which was the bully Christians, the one that the minute Jesus got off the cross, they broke it into four equal pieces and used it as bats to beat people with.
Right.
But I think that we're coming to the end of the age of bullies. I'm not sure that bullies are going to be lasting much longer. I think people will always try to be bullies, and there will always be people who will get victimized by them. But I think that it's going to shift. Maybe I'm naive. I don't know. But I'm going to hold on to my naivete if I need to at this point to get me through the rest of 2020. Because 2020 has been an interesting year, don't you think?
Oh, I would say so, yes. It sure has. And it's only halfway done. A little over half.
Yeah. Yes. And as my astrologer was telling us last month, we have this little thing where Mars, which usually is in a sign for 6 weeks, and Mars is most at home being fiery and encouraging people to even be violent or start wars or lose tempers, which is what happens when Mars is in Aries, that for some really weird, hasn't happened in God knows how many hundreds of thousands of years, Mars is in Aries from June 28th to January 7th, not 6 weeks, 6 months of heightened volatility.
Yeah.
So, wow. Yeah. And I remind myself, I've told all my clients, I'm like, this is going on astrologically. It means you are going to more quickly want to be snappy, to snap at people, to get into somebody's face, and if you know this is going on, take a deep breath and remind yourself, is this really worth it? Is this really who I am? So, my book, which you've heard about because I've talked about it before, but it's finally out, and maybe you'll remember or maybe you won't, Matt, is called My Friend Jesus.
Ah, yes.
You remember My Friend Jesus? Remember me talking about
it? I believe so, yes.
So it's the channel messages of Simon Peter. For some people out there, they're not going to give it validity because it's channeled. Some people out there won't give it validity because it's really going to upset them if they read it. And for other people, they're going to find great hope in it. Being a trans channel for over 18 years and channeling a number of different entities, one of the entities that I channeled semi-regularly was Simon Peter, that we refer to as St. Peter out of the New Testament, who was very clear that very early on in Transcendentally Through Me that he didn't like to be called St. Peter because he had no respect for the organization that canonized him. That was one of his early statements. But he talked about my friend Jesus and who Jesus was and who he wasn't. And then he wanted to, he talked to my partner at the time that was always there when I channeled. And he wanted to give a more accurate translation of what he actually said that became a very incorrect version of the two books of Peter out of the New Testament. And so Tommy, who you've heard me talk about, not for a long time, but when we first started, we first met each other, I was still talking about Tommy sometimes, I think. We'd already split, but Tommy read the books of Peter and Simon corrected them by what he actually said. And that's in the book as well. Very different, very, very different. Some of what was what Simon said versus what the patriarchy did with it when they were trying to subjugate women, control the followers, and basically do aggrandizement to the church, where the church was, you know, really on the altar, not Jesus. Jesus's likeness was on the altar, but it was the church that you were asked to worship. And so that book is out. It is available. It's available on Amazon. I just got the notification a couple of days ago that it is fully released. You can get it. You can go to Amazon. Amazon. You can put in Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, and you can either get an ebook or you can order a hard copy and get it sent to you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yes. That makes book four this year I've got out.
Jeez. Wow. How many books have you written total?
Written or had published?
Well, had published. I know you're always working on something. Yeah.
I've got 16 books out now.
Okay. Wow.
I've got 16 books out. I've got another 4 or 5 that are done and are in some form of editing. I have a couple more that are close to being done, and then maybe another 15 or 20 that are in various stages of being written.
Wow.
You know, they kind of go all over the boards. I mean, you know, my first fantasy fiction, as we talked about last time, alternative reality book came out. And that sequel is almost done, and that will come out in 2021. My science fiction book is going into edit, and that will be getting released. You know, and then I've got a book of parables that's done that will be getting released at some point. So, but they're all over the place. Inspirational, motivational,
yeah.
Science fiction, fantasy fiction. I'm working on a murder mystery right now.
Oh.
You know? You got to do something in your spare time, Matt. What do you do in your spare time?
I don't write any books. And again, I don't have any spare time. But I don't think you do either. You're a pretty busy guy.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Wow.
I in the last, you know, I've been saying that I learned at the time of COVID that I was an essential service, and mm-hmm. how busy I got, and how you know I got booked, and of course, I pride myself on getting clients in, doing the work they're ready to do, getting them wherever they're willing to go. Shipping them back out, and then when they're ready, they can come back for another round at some point. But I don't drag my work on with people, because you do what you can do, what they can do. Then they need to send it out in the world, and they need to adjust to their new version of themselves and their new way of looking, seeing, being. And then, you know, it's not uncommon that they'll hit another bump, but it's a different bump. And then they bring a different bump in, and we can go through that. And I have some clients I've been doing that with for I have an appointment next week with a client that I started doing that process with 29 years ago. And
wow.
29 years later, when she hit the bump, she still comes and looks me up.
Yeah.
She knows where to find me. You know, have I had her in regular for 29 years? Oh, my God, no. I would have killed her. I don't have that kind of patience. I can't even keep a husband for 29 years. You think I'm going to keep a client?
Right.
Wow.
So,
has this been a big adjustment for you, you know, as far as how you see clients and interact with clients with COVID?
So three things. One, I am doing more Zoom clients.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I'm doing more phone clients. And I have to say, I like doing my phone clients because I can do exactly as I'm doing on this show, which is I can be outside walking in the woods while I'm talking to my client. So I get to, you know, get in sometimes 10, 12, 14 miles of walking on a busy day of clients.
Yeah.
You know, so I like that. I have a few clients I see in person, and how I do it is I get into my intuitive before I let anybody in my house of any ilk. I get in the intuitive and I go, is it safe for me? Is it safe for Jeff? Is it safe for them, for us to interact? That's if I've invited a friend over for dinner or if I've invited a client that they can come see me at my home office. And as long as my intuitive says yes, then I'm okay with it. And so far, it has not let me down. And if I can't trust my intuitive, I shouldn't be doing what I've been doing for 30 years.
Right.
So yes, it's changed it somewhat. And last week, I got a call for somebody who wanted me to come on to their podcast and talk about meditation. I think they reached out to you too. They sent a message to both of them.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right.
Well,
yes.
I did a show. It was only like 15, 20 minutes, but it's posted. If you're actually thinking you might do it, you should listen to my interview.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then I had somebody else call me and is doing a book on It's Never Too Late and wanted to interview me for a chapter on It's Never Too Late to Get Healthy, because she'd been following me on Facebook, and somebody that I knew through a business forum I used to be faculty at, and she was faculty as well. So, I mean, you know, knew them, but I was like, I look at it and I go, I'm slammed with clients, and which is a good thing. I'm glad I can be helping people in the world. Slammed with clients. And so I'm not doing much to market or promote myself these days. My poor books feel like they're orphan children. You know, I'm paying somebody, you know, like I pay somebody to do everything that I don't have to do to make sure it's ready for the publisher. But so they're going out because I had so much in back stock that I had already written or was so close to finishing. But then I'm kind of, like, but I don't have any time to market or promote them. I don't have any time to do any book signings. I don't have any, you know, to do any of that stuff. And in the last 10 days, in some cases out of nowhere, I have three other people that have showed up and said, can I start doing regular work with you? Can you squeeze me in somewhere? Can I see you biweekly? Can I see you weekly? I'm like, okay, God, I need an extra day. Can you arrange that, please?
Right.
So anyways, but so it's been interesting times for me and for you. How have the times in COVID been for you, Matt?
Well, you know, it's an adjustment. I'm not someone who likes to go out a lot as far as socializing. So it hasn't been that much of an adjustment. It's been tougher on my partner, Jenny. For a while, as you know, I wasn't able to. Right now, I'm calling you from one of the studios at WMNH. But you know, after we had the initial shutdown here in New Hampshire, there was about a month where I was having to pre-record my show at home every day and email it into the station because I wasn't able, because they weren't allowing any live programming from the studios here. So,
So, you know, we got through that and things got back to normal in that sense, eventually. So, you know, things haven't changed that much, but, you know, and I mean, you know, and there's also the adjustments of wearing a mask in public and whatnot, but that's a very light, burden in my view. I mean, anytime it starts to seem even the slightest bit inconvenient, I just think about all the healthcare workers, you know, some of whom are wearing a mask all day, every day for 12 to 15 hours. And, you know, and then it seems like, not as much of an inconvenience when I think about them, you know?
Well, and it's interesting because some of the more curdled parts of human nature are coming out with this whole thing.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll talk about that next month. Matt,
yeah.
My love to Jenny.
I will.
As always, thank you for coming in. And Matt will be on in the first Thursday of September. Matt,
very
stay
good.
Safe
thank
and
you.
Be well.
Thank you. You too. Take care. Thank you. Bye, everybody.